Hello, and welcome to the Winding Roads Companion Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Lewiston, and I'm so pleased to have with me in the studio, Philip Woletzko. Philip, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Philip Woletzko, and I live in Rushford, Minnesota, along the Rut River, and I am a spoon carver.
Great. And where are you located? Like, you're from Minnesota. Is that your full-time residence?
Yes.
Okay, and how far is that from here?
Hour and a half, I believe.
I really appreciate you being here today. I didn't realize that you were coming from so far away.
It really became a thing of I wanted to do this stuff in person because it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's you can do stuff over Zoom, but I'm past doing a lot of stuff on Zoom.
I feel that. I very much feel that. Yeah. And so how did you get involved with the Winding Roads Art Tour, given the fact that you are located as far away as you are?
I did live in La Crosse for, 15 years. And I'm part of the spoon carving group in Viroqua that meets on the second Thursday of the month at the Commons, or I can't think of the city park we meet at, but it is the Driftless Spoon Carving Group. And through that, eventually doing art shows, I met Jason Keeley, who is from or lives in Viroqua. And he one year invited me to be a guest artist at his studio.
Oh, very cool. And is that the situation this year?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. you'll be featured at Jason's tour stop.
Yes.
Wonderful. So tell me a little bit about how you got into spoon carving.
When I was younger, early high school, one of our neighbors was a wood carver, and he did boots and other things. And I started hanging out with him a little bit, carving on and off for a couple of summers. And then it stopped as high school life got busier and busier. Mm-hmm. But when my first daughter was born, I have always been watching people do it a little bit online from photos, and I'm like, oh, I'll give this the old honest college try, and ordered a couple tools and started just making a lot of wooden clubs and kindling, and it progressed. I think it took me about 3 years before one fall I had finished carving a spoon, and I looked at my wife and I went like, you know what, I think I could probably sell this. And that was when I made the decision to apply to take part in the Driftless Makers Market, which it's no longer happening anymore, but I took mm-hmm. part in that for the first winter. And I was like, oh, hey, this is really fun and cool. And I met a lot of interesting people through that. And from doing that, I progressed to doing more and more events. And eventually I ended up here.
That's cool. That's really cool. So it took you 3 years to, like, kind of get to the point where you thought, I think this stuff is good enough to sell.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, you're going to have to forgive me because I don't know very much about, like, spoon carving and hand carving in general. What are the nuances of this craft? Because, again, forgive me, a spoon looks really simple.
It's a process depending on where you start. I primarily work with greenwood, so I am always trying to make friends with people who own property and have trees they're trying to get rid of that will fit what I'm trying to make.
Uh-huh.
I'm listening for chainsaws around town.
Uh-huh.
I am, Rushford has a yard waste disposal site, and they have a big old pile of trees after I realized, oh, hey, I just have to fill out some paperwork and I can go recover the firewood, or what they would call firewood, but I can recover trees that would end up being chipped or burned. I mm-hmm. can take those and bring them home to also turn into spoons.
And greenwood is wood that hasn't been aged.
Yes, fresh, right. Fresher. The fresher, the better. Preferably, I like trees that have dropped their leaves in the fall. There's a little less moisture in the wood, and I kind of like how that stores a little bit better. But there are times in the spring where it's fun to get a nice fresh piece of cherry or a fresh piece of walnut that'll carve, you know, it'll carve like butter because it'll have a lot of moisture in the wood as you're working with it. So,
and is the ease of carving green wood, is that kind of like the primary reason that you enjoy working with wood that's not been aged or dried?
Yes, it carves easier, and also you get more carve time out of your tools when you're doing everything by hand. You know, you get your block of wood, and primarily I usually cut blocks of wood around 13 inches, and then you will, you know, split them into the size chunks you want, and you'll put your template or you will freehand draw what you think you're going to make on it, and then you'll start, you know, chopping it out with an axe or a hatchet. Now with, you know, with the amount of time I've spent carving spoons, I have developed a mild case of carpal tunnel. So a little bit, I've started employing a bandsaw a little bit just to get the first real billet out of the block of wood. But then that also allows me to better utilize some of the chunks that come off the sides. I can make eating spoons. You can make other items from them. My kids like to carve and sharpen sticks. So, you know, it's a part of the process. And then, you know, after you remove the initial lump sum of wood from, when you move the vast majority of the wood off of the spoon you're wanting to make, then you would move on to, you know, usually the knife work or chisel. Some people use gouges to make the bowl. Mm-hmm. I prefer a hook knife. I use a draw knife a lot to just speed up the process, and then it's less stress on your wrists when you're doing it.
Sure. And so how many tools do you have in your arsenal?
I don't want to count.
So
just like, say, basic,
what's the minimum number of tools that you might be able to carve a spoon with?
You would start out with, you can use your hatchet to split, but I do have a fro. I like using a fro quite a bit, but you can use your hatchet to split with a mallet on the back.
Okay.
And then you'd use that hatchet to create your billet and your blank. And then from there, you know, if I were to be conservative and do a really nice job on chopping, then I could skip the draw knife and I can go right to just a standard Sloyd knife, and then a hook knife to usually carve out the bowl or, you know, your preferred gouge.
Okay, so like 3 to 4 would be like a minimum?
Yes.
Okay. It seems like you were going to say something.
There are people who would probably, you know, they could get that smaller yet to like a knife, a hook knife, and just a hatchet.
Is spoon carving something that you would consider to have a low barrier to entry?
Yes, I would consider it a low barrier for entry. If your community has a group, if you have ease of getting fresh wood. I know, like, when you look online a little bit and you start to cruise on Facebook, or you cruise on
Craigslist,
I would like some of the forums or some outdoor forums, and some people they want to pick up the hobby. They live in a city, but getting fresh green wood is like their biggest hurdle.
Yeah,
to be able to do it, and then they're you know, a lot of guys have done some real creative things, and a lot of ladies have done some really creative things with the wood they've found and what they've made with it. But you know, that's the biggest hurdle. You know, like in Viroqua, here with this group, it's always, you know, I always tell people, you know, contact the guy who kind of just heads everything, Terry. You know, just let him know, hey, I'm coming and I'm new to this, and you know, we go from there. You know, it's a show up and learn a
That's
new craft.
Very cool. Yeah. And so is that group on Facebook?
Yes, they're Driftless Spoon Carving on Facebook.
Okay, very cool. So if a person's interested in learning how to spoon carve or like carve utensils, tools, that kind of thing, then that's a good place to go.
Yes, and it's quite a skilled group of people too. Like there are more than just spoons being made. You know, there's people are making traditional boxes, turning bowls, you know, simple furniture some guys make. So it's a great group of people to hang out with and talk.
Would you consider spoon carving to be sort of a gateway to other, like, woodcraft?
Yes.
Yeah.
Greenwood woodworking is pretty much a gateway drug to everything. you know, you'll start, oh, I'm doing good at this, and then all of a sudden you're shopping for lathes, or you're watching videos on a build-your-own pole lathe, and you're looking up classes, and you're like, oh, I could travel to Minnesota and go to the spoon gathering, and then there's the one in the fall here in Lafarge, and you know it is a slippery slope.
Yeah I think there are probably a lot of people who could say that about their, you know, craft hobby, or you know, that kind of thing. Once you start really figuring out what materials are the good ones, or like once you get a nice tool in your hand, it's kind of hard to go back.
It really is like you end up, you know, following all these blacksmiths on Instagram or Facebook, and you're like, oh, there's a rumor they're going to, you know, be posting some tools this day. And you're like, well, I got to clear this hour block of my life just in case I can get one.
Yeah. The good old blacksmith tool drop.
Yes.
Man. Yeah. So I'm wondering, Philip, if you can take me through your creative process or your routine. Like, does your work... Is this your full-time work?
Yes, this is what I primarily have been trying to do full-time.
Awesome.
You know, it's a struggle bus trying to establish and get there, but this is what I have been doing, so.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. When did you kind of go full-time with this?
You know, it was always kind of been off and on. You know, I was a stay-at-home dad, so it's just like it fit into the caretaking well between my children and doing this. You know, it fits in the gaps.
Yeah.
And it's been incredibly fun, too, because it allows me to be, you know, with my kids more. And, you know, then I have also more free time if we're trying to do other things. Like, it's like my availability is wide open. So
and it's pretty portable.
Yes. Like have stuff semi-finished to go when we go certain places that I can finish on the way. And you know, the hardest part is when the holiday season starts, and I feel like every year the push for the holidays, it seems to get a little bit longer. You know, it's another weekend. Oh, I found something else. Well, you know, it's another weekend. Where before it would just start Small Business Saturday, and then it was until Christmas. And I think this year I started in, I think, October.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I think a lot of craftspeople and artists are feeling that push as well. It just...
Yeah.
You feel like you want to get ahead of the season a little bit, and then you end up... Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah, you never end up ahead of the season, so...
So is this something that you like to work on? Do you have like a set space or a studio within your like home?
I do have, because we recently moved to Rushford from La Crosse. I do have a primary room in the house that has heat, and it has a door. And it has windows. So once I get my dysfunctional clutter together, I hope to... like have a part-time brick and mortar studio space in the house where people can come and see stuff that's there. So
awesome. Okay. Very cool. And that's a new development.
That's, you know, it's been more than a year kind of like trying to get that part of stuff, you know, kind of in line. So
But that's really cool. Do you have if that's a relatively new part of your kind of creative evolution, how does that feel to like have your own space?
I had my own space before, but this is, you know, it's a different type of space. Like, you know, I'd be working in the garage through the winter. You know, I have a propane heater running. It would be cold.
Yeah.
And then I have a space in the basement a little bit where, you know, it's warmer and I could work there, but you know, this is like a space.
Yeah.
You know, it's, if it's 12 by 12, it's like, it's my 12 by 12 workspace. You know, it's wood shavings. Yeah. I put cattle mat on the floor. You know, it's the whole...
It's dedicated.
Yep, it is a dedicated space.
Yeah, that's a really cool feeling.
Yeah.
Like, that feels special to have a space that's like just for that and just for you.
Yeah, and it's fun too, because like some of the art I've bought from friends over the years I've been doing art shows, I can get that on the wall, and my kids' stuff for art that they want to hang, you know, that can go on the walls as well. So it's just a nice little convenient spot.
Awesome. That's so cool. So what do you think... what do you think keeps you coming back to this kind of wood carving?
I love the simplicity of it. If I'm trying to do something else, like every year I'll dabble in a little bit of a different thing for the holiday season. This year I tried to make simple, traditional, like, benches to put your boots on or to put plants on. And like my idea was, I wanted to make a simple bench that would scream, hey, grandpa needed a bench on the farm and he had some planks and he hammered it together and it sat in his farm in front of the farmhouse for, you know, 50 years. And that's what he put his boots on with every day. And that's what grandma put her boots on with every day. And it's like, so I try to make that, but then it's like the process of making that involves, you know, the table saw, I tried to hand plane them as much as I could, but certain portions of it, like I had to break out a planer, you know, and to get other tools to get the assembly together. Yeah. Where it's, when I'm in my space, it's like, it's very simple. It's, you know, it's a sharp knife, a sharp axe, and that's the process.
Yeah. Well, and it's much quieter.
Yes,
than a lot of, like, large machined woodworking.
It is, yes. It's... and, you know, it's way better, too, because depending on what you're working on for wood, like, you might be wearing a mask and yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's pared down.
Yes.
That's great. That's really cool. And so when you participate in the Winding Roads Art Tour, you're going to be, as we said, with Jason.
Yes.
Okay. And that's here in Viroqua.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. And is it just the two of you?
No, and I can't remember the gentleman's name. He's a photographer, and he hangs out up front.
So, I wonder if that's Michael.
I think so.
Okay.
I hope so.
Yep, the Driftless Nights. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, wonderful. Well, Philip, thank you so much for being here today. I'm hoping, do you have any last words? Anything you want to say? Anything you want to plug? Do you have a website?
I do have a website, letsgoprimitivecraft.com. I'm not very good at updating it.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to call you out. I'm sorry if that was... but if people can kind of see examples of your work
there. Yes, and Instagram is a better place to see it. But, you know, I've been a little out of social media hiatus, so...
Yeah, understood. Well, we look forward to seeing you at the tour, and I want to thank you so much for being here today, especially driving all this way. Thank you so much. I had a really nice time talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me come.